Hallelujah, Jesus died for me.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant begins a mini-series within a series as he continues to lead us through the book of Ephesians. The title of this evening's message and the title of this mini-series is The Worthy Walk. Pastor Grant begins to speak to us by calling our attention to the Apostles' injunction to walk worthy of our calling in Christ and what that means to the life of every believer. He lists from Scripture solid reasons why it is that this injunction must impact the hearts and minds and the lives of every believer. We will see how Paul's words, delivered in the power of the Holy Spirit, list no other option. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to open to the text found in the first 16 verses of Ephesians and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, The Worthy Walk. Here now is Pastor Grant.
One of the most exciting things in a new parent's life is when their baby starts to walk. I've been there. You know, the excitement, it's such an exciting time that often those first wobbly steps the baby makes, they're greeted with such excitement, such fanfare. It's as if Neil Armstrong first walked on the moon. But you know, those first steps are wobbly, but after a while the baby picks up some strength and suddenly the baby becomes an explorer. The baby becomes Christopher Columbus. In our case, we had two boys and one girl, but particularly the boys, you know, when they were toddlers, their exploration, they discovered two primary discoveries, worldwide discoveries. They discovered the kitchen cupboard, and they discovered the toilet. Now, you might not realize how big those discoveries were, but you know, the kitchen cupboard, no matter how much money we spent on toys, there was nothing quite as exciting as going into the kitchen, taking out all the pots and pans, and banging them together. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We wasted all that money buying all them fancy toys. All we need to do is open the cupboard and say, come guys. But when they discovered the toilet, their joy was full. Because what better place to wash their hands? What better place to hide their mother's jewelry? And what about unrolling every roll of toilet paper in the house and stuffing it in the toilet? But do you know what made their joy run over? They discovered it was the place to put all their parents' shoes. And so we would come home and every shoe I owned was in the toilet. Can you imagine? The toilet was overflowing with shoes. Probably we should never taught them how to walk. We should have just left them creeping. But you know, as anxious as we parents are to see our children walk, God is equally anxious to see his children walk. And so we've been going through the book of Ephesians in our Sunday morning services, and we're now at chapter 4, the second half of the book of Ephesians. And in the second half of the book of Ephesians, God takes the time to teach us how to walk. In fact, chapters 4 and 5, the word walk appears 5 times in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 as God focuses on helping us to know how to walk. And so this is such an important subject, the believer's walk, that this morning I'm starting a 5-part sermon series entitled The Worthy Walk. And I hope you're going to take the time to come. You know, not every Christian comes to church every Sunday. Am I right about that? But I want to talk to that Christian who shows up here every now and then. Come on now. I want to encourage you to make sure you make it a point of duty to be here every week. And you visitors, if you want to, please come and join us, because I believe God has a lot to say to us about this worthy walk. But what does it mean to walk worthy? Ephesians 4 verse 1 tells us that we're to walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. What does it mean to walk worthy? The Greek word that's translated worthy in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 is the Greek word axios, A-X-I-O-S. And that word axios means to balance the scales. To balance the scales. You know, when I was a boy, now you, some of you teenagers and young adults don't know a thing about this, but when I was a boy, when you did not buy sugar and rice and flour and things like that in pre-packaged bags. You might not know that. You didn't go into the store and find pre-packaged bags of sugar and rice and things like that. You see, you'd go to the grocer and he'd pull out his scale. And you see, the first variety of scales, the first variety had two scale pans. And if you said to the grocer, I need 5 pounds of sugar, he would put a 5 pound weight on one of the scale pans. And he would put a piece of paper on the other. And he would start pouring sugar into this other side until the two were in balance. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And what God is trying to say to us, come on now, you can put this in your notes. The worthy walk is a balanced life. The worthy walk is a balanced life. There is a balance between our belief and our behavior. I'm going to come and show you where that the Bible tells us that. But the worthy walk is a balanced life. There is a balance between our belief and our behavior. A balance between what we believe and the way we live. And this does not come naturally. You know, it's interesting. Some Christians, even in our own church, there's some Christians who love the Word of God. They love Bible study. They love to explain the Bible. So they're always here at the Bible studies. And they learn and they can explain the Bible to you really good. And that is so important. But the problem is sometimes we know it, but we don't live it. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody this morning. You know it. You can tell everybody everything about what the Bible says, but you're not living what the Bible says. You're not living a balanced life. That's not a worthy walk. But then there are some other Christians in our church. They never ever show up for a Bible study. Because you see, they'll tell you, I'm not into doctrine. I just love Jesus. I'm just crazy about Jesus. But I don't write all this doctrine stuff. I just love Jesus. It sounds great. But it's dangerous. Because the person who is not grounded in the Word of God is the person who, verse 14 tells you, is likely to be blown around by every wind of doctrine. My friend, listen, the balanced walk requires that we know the Word of God and that we live it out. Amen? I wonder if this morning God is already starting to talk to some of us. Because if we're going to have this balanced walk, number one, we're going to have to make a commitment today. God, I want to know your word. I'm going to make the effort to know your word. But second, God, I'm going to commit to living out your word. I am going to make sure my life is balanced. The balanced walk. In the next 4 messages, I'll be talking about the how. How do we walk worthy? But this morning I want to start with the why. Why should we walk worthy? And I want to pick just 3 things from today's text and share with you 3 reasons why we should walk worthy. Reason number 1, we should walk worthy because of God's plan. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. It's interesting. Paul starts chapter chapter 4 with the word therefore. And you've already heard me say, whenever you run across the word therefore, you got to find out what the therefore is there for. And the word therefore in chapter 4 is a hinge. You see, in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is telling us doctrine. He's giving us the doctrine of what God has done for us. He's giving us the doctrine of the church. He's telling us about what we ought to believe. And in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he's telling us, based on this doctrine, here is how you ought to walk. The therefore is the hinge. It's linking the first three chapters to the last three. The therefore is saying, hey, because of what you believe, here is how you should behave. It's linking our belief and our behavior together. Boy, I tell you, God has brought us a mighty long way. Would you agree with me? But if you look at chapters 1 through 3, it's hard to miss where God brought us from. Turn back to Ephesians 2, if you don't mind, just for a minute. And you he made alive, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Listen, the passage is very clear. When God caught us, we were what? Spiritually dead. Not only were we spiritually dead, it goes on to tell us how depraved we were. It says, listen, when God caught up with you, you're not only dead, you're following the devil, you're following your own lust, you're following the world, you were depraved. You were dead and you were depraved. And verse 3 tells us you were doomed. It says we were children of wrath, just as the others. Stay with me. You see, what it is telling us, that every single one of us were born dead, and because we were dead, we were doomed to die and roast in hell, just like everybody else heading for hell. When you were born, when I was born, I was heading straight for hell. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the cross. Because of the cross, those of us who have come and received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, this morning we are not heading for hell. Amen? No. Heaven is my home. I'm on a heavenly road. Amen? Is there anybody else with me this morning on this heavenly road? Because Jesus saved my wretched soul. And this morning I got a hope. This morning I am a member of the royal aristocracy of heaven. I'm a child of the King. I'm a member of the family of God. Are you?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You see, there are people here this morning, and you don't have that assurance. You're not sure that if you died today, you would get to heaven. 2 weeks ago, a gentleman came into my other office, and as I got to speak with him, I said to him, for whatever reason, I decided, let's forget about financial planning and talk about real planning. And I said to him, I said, if you died today, where would you like to go? Guess what he said? He said the same thing you would say. Heaven, of course. So I said to him, if you had to stand before God, and God said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you answer him? He said, I would let him know I'm a good person. I'm very kind. I'm not a bad person. And he was telling me all the other things. And I said, I may as well stop you right now. Because none of that is going to really cut it with God. That's not the answer that God is looking for. Because none of those things can save you. You know, I bet you I'm talking to somebody. If you were honest and we had a testimony time and I ask you right now, if God asked you, why should he let you into heaven? I bet you there are some of you who would say, well, because I'm good. I'm a church member. I was baptized. But you know, that don't mean a thing. As I like to tell folks, baptism don't save anybody, because if you're not saved before you enter the baptism pool, you go in a dry sinner and you come out a wet sinner. Baptism don't save a soul. So what? You say, Pastor, tell me, then what is the answer? Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Did you see that? There's absolutely nothing you or I can do to get salvation. It's not of works. It's not because of church membership. It's not because of how much you gave to the church. It's not because of what you did for your neighbor. Keep on doing the good things for your neighbor. But that's not what God counts on. He says it's by grace. Number one, two things. Grace. Grace is God's side. God's unmerited favor, that God, despite how wretched we were, God chose to love you and love me and shower his unmerited favor on us. And he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary for your sin and my sin. And I say, hallelujah, Jesus died for me. But listen, grace is God's side. But it says, by grace are you saved. What? Through what? Faith. Through faith. That's your side. We don't get saved by works. We get saved by faith in what Jesus did. Listen, young person, older person, it doesn't matter who you are. This morning you could have the joy of knowing for sure that you're on the way to heaven if this morning you would open your heart to Jesus and receive him by faith. Say to him, Lord Jesus, I accept, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I thank you that Jesus died for my sin. Won't you come into my heart and cleanse me today? You say, you don't know what I've done. Jesus know what you done did. It's interesting, the first person who let into heaven was that thief on the cross. He was a bad dude. He must have done some, listen, he didn't just, was not just a thief. They don't crucify thieves. This was a bad boy. And here he is hanging on the cross, and he looks at Jesus and he says to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looks back and say to him, listen, this day you will be with me in paradise. He put his faith in Jesus, and God is asking you and you and you. He's asking you today to receive him, to put your faith in Jesus. And no matter what you are, have done, no matter who you are, God will change you and save you by his grace. But guess what? The minute he saved us, something dramatic happens. Once we are saved, God has a special plan for us. And oh, would to God that the young people, some of you teenagers who have turned me off already, turn me back on, because you need to know this, because you need to know that God has a special plan for your life. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. Those of us who have come to Jesus Christ are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word workmanship, the New Living Translation translates that, for we are his masterpiece. Oh, I wish every one of us would recognize that. The minute you have come to Jesus, you become God's masterpiece. For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. I don't want you to miss this. Long before you were born, God had already made up a plan just for you. What a waste it would be if at the end of your life you have never discovered it. You know, we fool ourselves into saying, man, I'm just so glad I can do what I want to do. I can do my own thing. I can choose what I want. Would you be angry with me if I said, if that's how you're thinking, that you're a fool? Can you imagine you are saying that your plan is better than God's plan? The creator of the universe has a plan for you. And you're fudging along with your little half-baked plan. Young person, older person, it's time for a change. It's time to say, I am going to start walking worthy because I want to discover God's plan. What a shame it would be if you missed it. How many of you have seen The Lion King? Only a trickle of us have seen The Lion King. Well, I'll have to help you out with those non-Lion King folks. Simba. Simba. You know about Simba? Simba was a lion cub who was born to be king. But because of a trick, Simba ran away from the kingdom. And Simba was out there living a Hakuna Matata life. You know about Hakuna Matata. You know about Hakuna Matata. Simba was living a Hakuna Matata life. You say, Pastor, what is a Hakuna Matata life? Somebody help me. Hakuna Matata. What is it? No worries. Simba was living no worries, no problems, no responsibilities. I can do what I want to do. Is there a Hakuna Matata Christian? Come on now. I can do what I want to do. Come on now. Fess up. Simba was just having a ball. Oh, my daughter would sing the song for you if I asked her about Hakuna Matata. But one day, Simba had a vision in that reflecting pool. And who did he see? He saw his father, Mufasa. And Mufasa said, Simba, remember who you are. You are my son. You are the one true king. And that day Simba decided, enough of this Hakuna Matata stuff. Simba decided to return home. Simba decided to embrace his calling. God is saying to somebody here this morning, remember who you are. You are my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. The one made in my image. My masterpiece. A trophy of my grace. I have a plan for you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you have done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?
You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.